are still in Luke 17, verse 9. I'm studying this word thank, which is thanks, which is the same as the word for grace. I just got a couple more left. 1 Corinthians 10. No, I'm sorry. Well, it's not 1 Corinthians. Hebrews 10. I'm sorry.
Close.
I wasn't even close. I looked at my notes wrong.
We did Hebrews 10.
I know.
14 through 29? Okay.
I know. I want to go there for another reason.
Do it again. Over.
Let's start in verse 28. I want to talk about this a minute. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the spirit of grace, or the spirit of thanks here. For we know him that hath said, vengeance is mine, or vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, what does it mean? With trodden underfoot the Son of God, and with counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing. It's a huge deal. It flies in the face of the idea of once saved, always saved. Because he's certainly not talking about Gentiles here.
Yeah.
He's talking about people who think they are believers, but trod underfoot the Son of God and count the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. This is, God, I remember the first time I read that. It sent shivers down my back.
Yeah.
And I spent, I had to really see whether or not that I have been trodden underfoot, or had trodden underfoot the Son of God. And it has to do with this thing we're studying. The idea of it being a servant. Let's go back to Luke for a minute and look at that. It seems so out of our character to even know what this means. In verse 7, Luke 17, but which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to eat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I thought not, I think not. So likewise, when you shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Let's look at a few others. Let's go to chapter 2 of Hebrews. This in chapter, the first part of chapter 1, it goes on and on and on about this the majesty of Jesus. And then in verse chapter 2, it says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" We neglect it by forgetting we're servants. We neglect it by returning to the ways of the world. I can't think of a greater way to trod underfoot the Son of God than have this, any part of this prosperity gospel. The idea that Christ is our servant instead of we being his. But some have this, I mean, it's so prevalent in today's world, about like Christian world, that just because they so-called accept Jesus as their personal savior, then they just go live their lives. They only read the scriptures that sort of are feel good for the most part. And therefore there's no fear of the Lord. You talk to yourself out of fearing God. And so you just continue your life, just do what you do. Let's look at another one. Let's go to Hebrews 6.
Told that guy to wait till 8 o'clock.
Who is it?
That yard man. I told him to wait till 8.
The yard man for who?
Juliet Fowler.
Well, we don't have anything to do with him.
You know, just been looking at this. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. He was a servant to the disciples.
Well, he pointed that the reason that he did that was to show us that we are all, if he did it, then we are all servants. There's nothing that we do that has anything to do with ourself. And that's what it means. That's what the word servant means. We'll get that in the next, when we study the next thing we're going to study, but we forget it, and we just go back and live our lives. All right. Chapter 6 of Hebrews. Everybody there? Therefore, leaving, in verse chapter 6, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of the eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. So it's the same thing that we just talked about. And it's just, our culture doesn't really give us an understanding of what being a servant means. We tend to always put ourselves first. And so it's, and again, in the English language, it's sort of just, you know, okay, I'm a servant, sure. I mean, sometimes I'll help somebody. But it's, the word servant means it's without regard to your own life. You serve that other. Let me look at, there's something else I'm going to look at. Yeah, let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. Is that what we just did?
We did Hebrews 10. We didn't go to 1 Corinthians, but I'm not sure.
All right. Verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he's talking about the communion or afkamen. Let's start in verse 23. For I have received of the Lord, in which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in the remembrance of me. After this same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is in the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many, many sleep or are dead. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Now, all of these are these fearful things. I mean, you can't escape it. You can't escape it by just using some cliche. These are fearful things about what he has commanded us. I know you don't like the word command, but it's here. Nobody likes that word. And this is especially true for when we're upcoming to Passover. We must remember that everything that we think is good is all of that of the 49 gates of impurity. Everything that we think is good, or the human race thinks is good, is that cup, golden cup, full of the abominations and blasphemy of God. There's got to be a transference here where there's a total different view of life. again, our culture doesn't have, we have free will and we have these rights. No, we don't. It costs you everything to become a believer. All right, let's go to 1 Peter 2. Verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters, or workers, be subject to your boss, with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Do you know what froward means?
No.
Hmm?
Oh. Harsh. That's a little note here. My hostess system means harsh. Froward. Harsh.
Froward. Yeah, that's what its normal translation is, harsh, but it means demanding.
Yeah.
Harsh. All right. For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffereth wrongfully. In other words, and then he explains it. For what glory is it when you be buffeted for your faults? You take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it and take it patiently, this is acceptable. Acceptable with God. Now, that's just terrible. I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing good, I think. What glory is it if you're buffeted for your faults? You take it patiently. Even the Gentiles do that. But when you are buffeted for something you do well, then take it patiently. That's acceptable unto God. And the whole deal here is the word thankworthy, which is the same. It's grace-worthy. The road gets, this way is getting narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower the farther and the more we study. There's no room for any part of us. No room for any of our ideas and thoughts. No room for any likes or dislikes. There's room for only faith. Anybody have any response? You have that look, Gary.
Yeah, I do have a response. Have a level surface. From the beginning, my mind can't comprehend this. It's way over my head. But my mind is not supposed to comprehend it. It wasn't written.
It's written so that you can't do it, you repent. If you're not doing it, there's always repentance. That's the reason these words are in the scriptures.
Yeah, repentance takes place at the beginning of listening to this.
You can't help it.
Right. I can't get it, but I don't want to get it in my mind. So the divorce is final there. I don't use my mind to try and get this. So I try and hear from I hear this.
but it's also it's the renewal of your mind so that you have the mind of Christ. So it has to be repentance, and it's, you can't be two of you.
I think I just said that. That's what a divorce is about.
Okay.
So you divorce this, and then you hear from another dimension. You don't.
But you don't continue doing what you're doing.
I don't know if you do or not.
Then there's not repentance, Gary.
I'm not in control. If I'm in control, we're really on the edge of being religious or spiritual.
No, we're on the edge of being disciples or converts. This is discipleship.
And that's what we're talking about.
But the discipleship requires this. If I'm doing one of these, I can't help but repent. Right, but I can't continue doing it then.
Well, do you or don't you?
I pray not.
Well, I pray not too, but I don't know whether I do or not. So, but that's not my business until it's redempted. If I see it, I will turn. And that's, I mean, just the reading of this causes that to happen.
But it's not just turning.
It's not a 360 turn, it's a 180. And if you have to keep doing the 180s, I mean, at some point, there's some stability because you have seen it in Christ. You're at rest with Him, and then hearing this is not painful as it is in the beginning, but it becomes delightful. It becomes.
If you stop doing it. Okay, but
get the if out of there. At some point, it's a fact, and that's life. Now, if you do what you're talking about and start trying to profit from it spiritually or in any other way, then the Antichrist raises his head and takes it over.
We're trotting underfoot the Son of God.
Yeah.
Counting the blood of the covenant is an unholy thing.
Yeah, yeah. And this is like the high-speed gospel here. You don't get to turn the wheel much.
Right, that's why the way is getting narrower and narrower and narrower.
Yeah. And I used to despise that. I used to go, crap, I need a little more space. But as you get down the road, you learn that that's what you want to happen. You don't need all this fluff in your life.
All right, let's go back to Luke. Luke 17.
You were talking about being a turn. For me, it's almost like the blinds and the shutters. Close them. Return yourself. Or intent. Open them up.
Put the light in.
I pray that there's less of the closing of them and the opening.
Wait a minute. You mean there's such a thing as a partial death?
I die and then I resurrect myself. So I don't stay dead for long. But there is this, I want to call it awareness of my closing of lives.
You know, Harry, and well, not just Harry, everybody has said it just about, that after Bible study, they walk out the door, and then 5 seconds down the road, they've forgotten about it. They're doing something just like we just said. No. Huh?
That would be pathetic if after all the years I've been here and listened and unlearned.
Well, you do forget it the minute you have a judgment against somebody.
Well, yeah, you bring
the minute you make a list.
You bring that up often about my judgments with everybody.
Well, I'm not picking on you. I'm talking about anybody.
Well, but I hear it with me a lot. So that's obviously something. There's a whole lot of repentance.
Well, but look, it's like. It's like a little baby. A little baby learns to walk by crawling first. And then the crawling becomes boring to them or whatever, and then they try to get up. They stand up, and then they fall down a lot. And then pretty soon, they're walking. And they're very aware that they're walking. And then pretty soon, the walking becomes automatic. There's no thought about it. Well, the spiritual life is much the same, except it's in reverse. We're transfigured by the renewing of our minds so that every aspect of faith is automatic in us. There's no thought about it. And the thought of the idea of thinking of self becomes so odious that it becomes okay, I'm playing in my bowel movement again. I'm no longer, but the whole idea is this is why it has to be lived. And it's the most fearful thing there is in the universe to say, all right, I'm going to live by faith and faith alone. There's nothing that's more frightening. But I promise you that you have to come to that point. Otherwise, you're going to continue to say, okay, I'm look at me, I'm walking, and then I fell down. That's not what this is about. This is about you being, your mind being transformed and transfigured to such a place that your mind and the mind of Christ are one. Because you've seen the stupidity, the emptiness, the crap, the puff of smoke, the everything of this mind. You can't fix it. It has to be renewed. The word renewal is anakinesis. I think that's it anyway. And it means a gradual conforming to that which was, is, and will be. The mind of Christ. So there isn't tool anymore. And it's the rare thing when you go back to leaning on your own humble understanding about something. It's not the thing that happens, you know, when you start out. Everything, it seems like you're repenting every 5 minutes. I used to say, I bet I repented 10,000 times a day. It seemed like that's all I was doing. And then I finally saw that my whole life had to be repentance. So there is no. But the whole issue of the abandonment of self, taking no thought, can't happen unless you see that the whole thing is worthless. As long as you think there's part of your mind that you have to use for something, you resurrect the whole damn thing. You can't get by. And that's a huge thing to come to the understanding of. Am I communicating at all? Because you've got to reach a point where because there's none of your. We're here, we're in the world for antagonism. That's its purpose, and its purpose is to test that perfect will of God in us. So that our mind and his mind are one. That's what it means to confess the Lord Jesus. Homologio. Say the same thing. Speak the same thing. That's how your speech is seasoned with salt. You're speaking from the oracle of God under the mercy seat. It's not something you go back to and come. You live. That's where you live. And it's a rare thing for you to fall off of it. And that happens. And when you do, you run back quickly because you know the crap that is in here. But as long as you think there's something good here in your mind, you can't forsake it. Do you understand that?
Sure.
So there's no part of your mind that has that can be. It's got to be abandoned. You've got to reach a point of taking no thought. For me, what I did and what I still do when it happens, I speak in tongues when I start to think about something that I should do. If it's not automatic, it's not faith. Now, but it all is centered on renewal of your mind. Because you've cleared all those neuron paths that were just crap. You've cleared them. There's only one, and it's, I happen to think it's that pineal gland, but that's another story. So that there is no more guidance for you at all from this mind. This thing, which is called the evil one. Which is, number is 666. He is the instead of Christ, the Antichrist. Now we say that all the time here, but then you go and use it again for something. Why? Because you still think there's something good in it, or you still think it's necessary to use it for some purpose. That's why if you feel that way, then at least take the lowest seat. Say, Father, forgive me. I don't know what else to do. I feel like I have to do this. Please show me the difference, if there is a difference. So please, whatever it is. Does that communicate at all? Some of us are, we may be, in my case, 77, but I'm still, spiritually, I might be 2. Huh?
You become as a little child.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to stay there. You're not, you'd be a little child without self-awareness is a secret. You lose self-awareness. That's the whole mystery.
That's what I thought you were talking about.
Well, the reason for becoming as a little child in that word, in that sentence, was that unless you be converted and become as a little child, and that is, you lose your self-awareness, you lose self-realization, the need for it. You lose the capacity to think about yourself. If you don't see that's the end, then you'll dance around it. And you'll justify something. That's the purpose of the preaching of the cross, so you can't justify anything. I went way over time, and I'm not feeling it anyway, so take it, big guy.